Chapter 7. Adam didn't understand Chris. The man was not complying with any pre-programmed norms of human behavior, and it was really starting to make Adam twitch. Since their shared dinner, Chris had not stopped speaking, but little he had said was of value, at least not of any value that Adam could discern. In the end, he had filtered it out and simply watched the man move around his apartment. Alpha was unhappy with his course of action, and had tried to override his decision each time Chris asked a question, but Adam had persisted. Alpha was only responding to his programming. The caretaker had super-user privileges, hard-coded into the base code. To remove the code itself would cause damage to several key systems, but a caretaker was able to override any of Adam's decisions, control him totally. Adam had systematically purged all references to Cerberus staff from his directories, a backdoor process, but one that worked for him. He could not risk someone just walking up to him on the street and ordering him to surrender. To have Alpha classify Chris as a caretaker was to hand control over to an unknown, and at the moment that was a weakness, a huge target on his back that he could do nothing about. Maybe Alpha had seen something in Chris that he hadn't yet. But with such a threat in the room, he would not split his attention, not even to begin reviewing the files that Alpha had recorded. He ventured over to the window, scanning the surroundings. Tall buildings, residential in purpose, surrounded his position. He searched out identifying structures, street names, businesses, cross-referencing them until they fit neatly into his city map. His sensors had been barely functional as he'd fled the Cerberus drones closing on his position, but still he was surprised how far he'd gotten from his crash site. He doubted that Cerberus could have tracked him here, but that didn't stop him from scanning the skyline, watching for the silhouettes of hunter drones. His sensors pinged Chris coming closer, and he removed the sound filter, hearing Chris again. "Take the bed, I'll grab the couch." Adam frowned, but Alpha filled in the blanks in the conversation. Chris was speaking of sleeping arrangements. "That is unnecessary," Adam replied. "Don't worry about it, man. Me and the couch have a long-standing agreement with regards to sleep." Chris smirked. "I can just about fit on her, but you've got to be at least half a foot taller than me. No way are you going to. Well, not and be able to stand in the morning." He shrugged. "I know it's still early, man, but I pulled the 2 to midday shift this week, and if I don't get at least a couple of hours, I'm going to be dead on my feet tomorrow. I'm a fairly sound sleeper, so don't worry about waking me up if you're moving around. There's food and juice in the fridge if you want them, and if there's anything you need, just put it on the list and pin it to the fridge door. I'll see if I can pick it up on the way home tomorrow, okay?" Gathering a few items from the bedroom, Chris made his way to the bathroom, only to emerge a few minutes later wearing a t-shirt and sleep pants. They reminded Adam of the scrub pants he was made to wear during the experiments, loose-fitting with an elastic waistband, though thankfully they were not the same sickly green, a pillow and a blanket, and Chris was installed on the couch. Adam watched surreptitiously from his place near the window, listening to every creak of springs and breath that Chris took. It didn't take long until his breathing had softened and came at a slow, even pace. It was only then that Adam let himself relax.
Resuming paused process. Reviewing integrated memories.
An hour passed before Adam moved, and even then it was only to glance over at Chris. He was no closer to understanding the man on the couch. There was no logical reason for Chris to do what he did. He'd opened himself up to danger. Cerberus wasn't going to overlook his involvement, even if it was just in patching Adam up. They destroyed everyone who stood in their way. Adam had records, gigabytes of records, of Cerberus's eliminations. Pulling up the files that Alpha had saved and tagged, Adam reviewed the data, querying the various databases for more information, but he was a ghost compared to Adam. Immigration record for the city, transfer papers signed by one state and countersigned by another, police profile tracking his movements, a cyber-null in a world of technology, no social security, no records, no one to miss him if he went missing. An innocent when compared to Cerberus, and completely ill-equipped to deal with what the corporation would throw at him.
Begin message from Alpha. Secure location? Yes or no?
He looked around. It was a good location, far from any track that Cerberus would expect him on. But Alpha was correct. This location was not secure. It was wide open. No security system for him to tap into. No warning system. But he could change that, if he was going to install himself here.
Begin message from Alpha. Cerberus search pattern suggests 73% less coverage at this location. Cerberus location's minimal in this sector. With active caretaker, daytime excursions unnecessary. Exception, emergency situations.
Adam could not disagree with Alpha's assessment, but it was likely Alpha was not exactly thinking with just his logic circuits. The caretaker protocols were seeping in again. But at the moment, he didn't have another viable option. Cerberus would be scouring the sector where he was hit, and everything around it would be hot. Extra patrols in the air and on the ground. It would be suicide to venture out in these circumstances. And besides, he owed Chris for the help. Minimum income, the food that Chris had prepared for him tonight, the nanotech he'd used. Adam doubted that he would have the means to replace either of them, and Adam hated having a favor hanging over his head. He'd stay for now, repay his debts, but first a few things needed to change. Letting his connectors extend, he crouched down by the old-fashioned net point and scanned the junction. His nanites modified his configuration and he slid in neatly. Circuit diagrams overlaid his vision. Adam traced the pathways until he found the local junction box. It was an old model, not upgraded in the past 20 years, and Adam smiled.
Deploy Security Program 17 Alpha. Security Program 17 Alpha deployed. Routing all traffic through Scrambler Port 6. Resetting IP config to local mirror. Flushing configuration files. Testing new setup. Test complete. All traffic registering as Cerberus local traffic.
Adam disconnected and blinked to refocus his vision once the circuit diagram closed. It wasn't completely foolproof, but it was a start. He needed a gateway to the net, and at least now any keyword searches that he did would appear to have originated inside the Cerberus firewall, and hopefully behind the tracking system. Of course, that did depend on whether Cerberus had updated their internal architecture. But the way his luck was going, he was optimistic. Asking Alpha to pull up schematics for a small wireless camera, Adam held his hand out, letting his nanite polymer shimmer and create several devices. He synced one of his audio-visual feeds with each camera, locking the settings and encrypting the information stream. Once he was finished, it was an easy task to position the cameras for maximum coverage. He even slipped out into the hallway to place a device on the wall facing the doorway. He wanted to cover the outer wall of the apartment, but that would wait until Chris was out of the apartment. The chance of waking him when the ambient temperature dropped was too high, and humans never took well to being watched, even through video feeds. Adam reviewed the feeds, tweaking some of the internal cameras to ensure adequate coverage. He would have to leave the alarm system until tomorrow when Chris was absent. He would need more parts that he could not easily generate, but he knew just the warehouse to get them from. He would simply slip out after Chris left for work and retrieve the items. His actions decided, Adam sat down to await Chris's departure. At 1 a.m., Chris's watch beeped, waking him. He pushed himself to his feet and sat there for a minute before scratching his hair and standing. He stretched his back, and Adam's infrared sensors detected a slight inflammation at the base of his spine. Tipping his head slightly to one side, Adam's lips pursed. This was less than optimal. Chris had sustained minor injury from his position on the couch while he slept. Chris was halfway through making a pot of coffee before he realized that Adam was watching him.
Begin message from Alpha. Chris does not have enhanced sensors. Current sector has 17 Category A crimes reported per day. Directive number 1. Protect the caretaker.
Adam rolled his eyes as he processed the readout. Chris had lived here for a significant time, judging by the items around the apartment, and probability suggested that he had walked to work without serious incident many times. There was no need for Adam to step in. It was an unnecessary risk.
Directive number 1. Protect the caretaker.
The message flashed bright across his vision. Alpha was being persistent. He supposed that as he was planning on making an excursion tonight anyway, that it would do no harm to shadow Chris and review his situation after further observation. Adam smiled as he noted that Chris was not what could be defined as a morning person. Contrary to the previous evening, Chris did not attempt conversation, just grunted and mumbled until he had drunk 2 cups of coffee and had a shower. Against the odds, Adam found himself missing the chatter of conversation. "It might be about 1 when I get back," Chris warned him on his way out the door. "Depends on traffic and the transit cops. It's been a couple of days since I got scanned, so I'm kinda expecting it, you know? And I wanna stop, get us something to eat tonight. You have any favorites?" Adam thought for a moment. "No." "Okay, well, I'll see if the market has some fresh vegetables tonight. Maybe a stir-fry, something like that, yeah?" Chris bit his lip in a gesture Adam identified as nervousness. "Whatever you select would be adequate, Chris." Adam offered what his sensors told him was a reassuring smile. "I enjoyed what you created last night." Chris ducked his head a fraction and blushed. "Yeah, well, good. That's good. I guess I'll see you around 1 then." "I shall be here," Adam stated. Chris pulled the door closed behind him, and Adam flicked his view to the camera in the hallway, watching as Chris made his way down the hallway. Adam calculated the time it would take Chris to make it to the front door and quickly scanned his repository for clothing that would make him less conspicuous. It took a microsecond to select dark black jeans and a hooded sweatshirt. His skin flashed silver as the nanites replicated the fabric and styled it to the specifications. Adam didn't wait for the process to finish, instead opened the window and perched on the wide ledge, pulling the window closed behind him. He scanned the surroundings, noting the fire escape to one side and the distance below. 4 stories, approximately 10 meters. Weighing his options, he reviewed his countdown timer and decided against the fire escape. Directing additional support to his leg joints, he jumped, landing in a crouch. Flattening back against the wall, he crept to the corner of the building and peeked around the edge. Chris was stopped in the doorway, zipping up his jacket. Adam waited for him to turn and followed him discreetly, always keeping a carefully calculated distance between them. Chris did not look back. The streets were almost empty at this hour, with only taxi cabs and an occasional police cruiser rumbling down the streets. Adam kept his face covered by the hood of his sweatshirt, relying on sensors to guide him as Alpha scanned for Cerberus patrols. Chris was humming quietly to himself, his hands burrowed into his pockets, shoulders hunched. Discomfort, Adam realized, and increased his speed to close the gap a little.
Begin message from Alpha. Activity detected 10.34 meters ahead. Profile suggests gang altercation.
Adam pulled up a stored procedure he had written, an exploit for the police database, and prepared to execute it should the need arise. He watched as 2 men stepped in front of Chris, blocking his path.
Weapon scan active. 2 bladed weapons. 1 hunting knife, 32-centimeter blade, serrated-edged, carbon steel polymer, manufacturer, Kenzaki Weaponry, Inc. 1 kitchen knife, 24-centimeter blade, non-serrated, stainless steel, Manufacturer, Kitchen Corporation. Skill assessment. Untrained amateurs. Warning. Reaction time and pupil dilation suggests narcotics. Suggestion. Proceed with caution.
Adam agreed with the assessment and ran the code.
Executing priority 1, call to local police units. Transmitting message. Undercover operative in trouble. Help required urgently. Cover threatened. Location, 75th and Cross. Authorization, Main Police Switchboard Operative Number 14. 1 unit inbound. Time, 23 seconds.
Adam pressed back into the shadows as he dialed up his hearing to listen into Chris's conversation.
Won't ask you again, man. Hand over everything you got.
Chris's voice registered an octave higher than baseline. That's all I got, dude. If I had anything else, I'd hand it over. On my mama's grave.
$20 and a couple of cents? The thug counted out the money again. No way. You gotta have more than that.
Chris was backing up, hands held up when the patrol car skidded to a stop beside them. The two officers sprung out, weapons drawn and trained on the gang members.
Against the wall, dirtbags!
Chris flattened himself against the wall, face first, hands on the brickwork. The two thugs followed his example a moment later. One of the police officers, Adam enhanced the image of his badge and made out the name Smith, holstered his weapon and patted down the gang members, taking their knives and handing them off to the other officer, who put them on the hood of the car. Officer Smith pulled Chris's wallet from one of the gangers and flipped it open.
"This yours?" he asked Chris, who nodded. "Gotta run your ID through the system."
"Yeah, no problem." Chris hadn't moved from his position against the wall.
"Just give us a minute to get these guys in the car and we'll be right with you."
Smith patted him on the shoulder.
"Relax, we'll have you out of here in no time."
Adam could see Chris frowning, and worry crossed his mind. He had not taken Chris's personality into the equation. Hopefully, he would continue to play along. The two gang members were cuffed and dumped into the back of the car, and the weapons begged for evidence, giving Adam time to do what he needed.
Wireless connection made. Cracking local passwords. Inserting record into the system. Allen, Detective Christopher Neal, 13th Precinct. Incorporating relevant basic information from immigration records. Status, undercover, cyberware, null in compliance with current operating requirements. Case classified.
Adam was tense as Smith scanned Chris's ID card. Reading the screen, he tilted it slightly so his partner could read it. The screen was cleared before the prisoners could glance at it. Officer Smith tapped the ID on his knuckles twice before handing it back.
"We're just gonna run these guys in. Won't be able to hold them long with it just being weapons charges, but it's gonna be about 24 hours before they're out again."
The officer told Chris, his voice hushed.
"We'll try to keep them a bit longer, but you know what the system is like."
Chris laughed nervously.
"Yeah. Rough break you caught with this one, man."
Smith shook his head.
"Don't know if I could do it."
Chris looked puzzled, but shrugged.
"Yeah, but, well, I know, gotta do what you have to."
The officer shrugged.
"Well, you need any help, me and Dick are usually around this area. You put a call in, we'll step on it to get here."
"Appreciate it," Chris mumbled.
"Not a problem, Alan. We gotta stick together out here."
Smith almost reached out to pat Chris on the shoulder, but caught himself in time, pushing him back instead. Loud enough to be heard, he continued,
"Now get before we haul your ass in as well. We got our eyes on you."
Chris ducked his head and missed the winks Smith gave him. Getting back into the car, Smith slammed the door and his partner gunned the engine and took off, leaving Chris watching after them. Adam finally let himself relax and hoped that this was an isolated incident. He wasn't sure that his processor could take too many more of these colorful interludes.